This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is up, faithful? Congratulations, the 49ers have defeated the Cardinals, their divisional opponent, kind of on the road and at home at the same time, if that makes any sense. 2020 kind of provides the context there. But oh my gosh, I freaking love it. A 20-12, and dare I say it, dominating win. The 49ers defense came out and just did everything possible. One of their best games that we have seen in a long time. And there was only five starters on the defense that played today that were week one starters. Five. That's it. Five starters. They're decimated. They're beyond decimated, right? They've lost everything. Yet the will to win, this defense to come out and play the way that they did. And all it took was lots of different things, but the 49ers actually played complimentary football. When you have an offense that's not turning the ball over left and right, you have the opportunity to win because of the way this team is built. Even without all the blue chip players on defense, you still can win the game against a top offense, one of the best offenses in the NFL, because you weren't putting your defense in holes. You weren't. You had the one turnover. That's it. And you held them to no points off that turnover. That's what it takes. Complimentary football. Just changing the quarterback. Which was CJ Beathard amazing tonight? No. Not even close. But was he good enough to win? 100%. Actually, I should kind of take that back. You look at CJ Beathard's number. 3 touchdown passes. Given they were to fullbacks and whatnot. Threw for 182 yards, 125 passer rating. He played great. He was efficient. Yeah, he had the lost fumble. Again, we'll talk about Mike McGlinchey in a little bit. But why did the 49ers win this game? Defense, number one. Number two, the running game. The 49ers running game dominated. They hit my magic number, 30 rush attempts for 227 yards. As a whole, the 49ers averaged 7.6. yards per carry. 7.6 yards per carry. That is stupid. That is stupid good. Jeff Wilson just goes off. 22 rushing attempts, 183 yards. What a game. And that doesn't even mention his receiving touchdown. 1 catch for 21 yards. I freaking love it. Now, Robbie Gold, I love it. Faithful from birth says, Gold playing for draft picks. Yikes. The 49ers special teams this year has been one of the league worst. And again, whenever you're talking special teams, you've got extra point or field goal team, right? You've got punt return. You've got punt, kickoff return. We've had one unit this year that's been good, and that's been our field goal team until today. You have a 41-yard missed field goal attempt. Then you go out there, you miss an extra point. Then you miss another field goal at the end of the game, all of which to ice the game. You just kept missing. Now, what does this mean? Well, this is the worst week in the world for Robbie Gold to do this because the 49ers have to decide within 6 days if they are going to pick up his option for next year. Because if the 49ers decide, you know what, we're going to let Gold go now, you don't have to pay anything else moving forward. But you have to decide this week before week 17 that was written into his contract. And if you do pick him up, that's $2.25 million that is guaranteed for next year. So Gold is definitely leaving his chips on the table. There's no doubt he has made it very well known he wants to play for Chicago. Do I think that he missed kicks so that he can go to Chicago? Hell no. And absolutely not. But he did pick a very poor time to miss those kicks. And again, special teams, if we're staying with that conversation, which one has been good besides the field goal unit? They all are terrible. This was probably one of the best games of the entire year for the punt team, and it wasn't even that good. The only reason why I say it was decent was because Mitch Wisnowski, the fourth-round punter, I think one of the only fourth-round punters in the NFL, didn't get any touchbacks in the punt game. He actually, now he didn't get any within the 10-yard line either, but at least he gave it a chance. And then on top of that, kickoff return, golly, man. Jerick McKinnon had a couple spark plays for the offense. But Jerick McKinnon, make no mistake, he is running in quicksand whenever he fields the ball on kickoff return. And why the hell would he return it repeatedly out of the end zone when he can't even get past the 20? I have no idea. Anyway, special teams, it's an issue. But again, there's lots of statistics that keep jumping out as you look through this box score. We won the turnover margin. You can't say that very often for the 49ers. You really, really can't. You have to go to our last game that we won was against the Rams. We forced 4 turnovers and gave up 3. So that was our last one where we were positive, and we won that game. This year is relatively simple. You can talk about the injuries. You can talk about play calling. You can talk about all those things. It's turnovers. This is the first game in 9, the very first game in 9 games that the 49ers didn't turn it over 2 or more times. That's it. You look through those games, those last 9 times, we were 2-7. Well, you turn the ball over 1 time and you end up +1 in the turnover margin, you get a W on the road / home Glendale, which is both, because again, next week we play at home in Glendale versus Seattle. Figure that one out. Again, one of those things that you can explain to your grandkids. There was this one time where the 49ers played a home game in Arizona against Seattle. Yeah, it's a mess. But anyway, lots of positives. And I love the comments, love the countdown crew, love everybody joining with us. And here's the conversation. I know that people are going to say this, and that's okay because I want to talk about it. And I put this out there right before the game. You know, we have the famous quote, you play to win the game and all those different things from Herm Edwards. Draft picks are very, very important. But at the end of the day, you're a fan of the football team. You want to win. This game matters. The 49ers are guaranteed 16 times a year, and this year was far from guaranteed at any point, to put on that red and gold jersey, white and gold today, and go out and play. Are we going to the playoffs? Hell no, we're not. This game freaking mattered. And so I'm so glad that they won. I hope we beat the hell out of Seattle next week. Yeah, does it change our draft position? Yes, it does. Is that a positive? No, it's not. But what's the big deal? We were picking 12th. Now we're picking 14th. That's where we currently are. We dropped 2 spots. Now, we played earlier than most teams, so some things could change for sure. You know, if you want somebody to root for or to root against, you got to pull for New England this week, because if they lose, then we're going to drop to 15th. That's as low as we can go. So no matter what else happens, the farthest we can fall this week is 15th. Where does this put us in the overall scheme of things? You know, I said several times last week, I don't think that the 49ers can get into the top 10, even if they did lose out. And now that's almost impossible, right? So, you know, your kind of range, which where the 49ers are, they're 6-9. Nice. But where they are, you might be able to get to pick 11, pick 10, if a whole bunch of things go your way this weekend and next weekend. But again, having the best draft pick in the world does not ensure you a good pick. We picked number 2, and we got freaking Solomon Thomas. Well, we were at 2, we traded back, then we got Solomon Thomas. It doesn't matter. You want to win the games. And here's why I say that. And I think this is probably one of the best things to take away. Amazon did the broadcast, and whatever. I know a lot of people were upset with that. But one of my favorite things about Amazon is they give you the option to change your broadcaster, very similar to when we broadcast last year before the NFL shut us down. Thanks a lot, NFL. Heart you too. But you could listen to Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, and it was awesome. I put it out there on my Twitter how to get to it. They talked about it a couple times. It was great. And Daniel Jeremiah, probably one of my favorite follows in the scouting or NFL, whatever you want to label him as, draft community. He said, "This is an iconic moment for the 49ers locker room because it shows you what they are about. It is all about Will. They had nothing to play for. They haven't seen their family in months, but they came out against a team, a division opponent, a division rival. You only got three of them, right? That if they won, if the Cardinals won, they're in the playoffs. We went into their house and beat the living hell out of them. Guess which team we have to play twice next year? Yeah, the Cardinals. Guess which team is one of the young and upcoming teams in the NFL? The Cardinals. And so you are setting the tone. You punched them in the mouth. Kyler Murray hated that game. DeAndre Hopkins was livid half the times, injured out and all that kind of stuff. Kyler Murray ended the game injured. Hopefully he's okay. I never wish injury on anybody. But that was a physical football game against a finesse football team that wants to throw the ball around and create space and all that. And what did the 49ers do? They punched them in the damn mouth and kept coming all damn game. That is a tone setter that lives in the heads of your opponents. I still remember a game where my junior year in high school, I played against an all-state kid at tight end. I was defensive end and tight end. So we went against each other on both sides. He beat the living crap out. I still remember this guy. He has no clue who I am. But, you know, he went to play college ball and whatever else. And I did. I got the opportunity. I turned it down. But whatever. These things you remember. And the 49ers just beat the living hell out of a playoff team. They're probably still going to get in the playoffs, the Cardinals. But it matters because it's not like you just show up. Go back to week one. We remember 2020. It sucks. We're already like trying to look back at this season. It started with those damn Cardinals week one when we lost. 24-20. It was a close game. It was before we had all the injuries and whatever else. And we lost because we couldn't contain Kyler Murray. Now, you go to all these replacement players, and you're beating the tar out of Kyler Murray. Oh, man. I freaking love it. I love this win. Does it make salvage the season? Hell no. This season is trash. But it's huge. And again, Jason, I love this comment. Hate it for the draft position, but love the fight in this team and beating a division opponent with our JV team. The replacements, baby. We got Shane freaking Falco as our quarterback. Again, CJ Beathard. I'm just throwing the nod to the old movie. But yeah, it matters. It matters a lot. And so I freaking love it. And the Howson says, now we can't get Zach Wilson. Nice. We're never getting Zach Wilson. I can't stress this enough. Zach Wilson's going top five, probably top two. Like once they come out with draft props, which I'm going to be talking a lot about because draft season is like an extra payday for me. I put a lot of money in on Zach draft season because I just bet a lot and it usually does very, very well. You weren't getting Zach Wilson in the start. You're picking 12, you're not getting Zach Wilson. You're picking 10, not getting Zach Wilson. You're picking 8, which the 49ers couldn't have got to even if they did lose out. You're not getting Zach Wilson. Are you willing to trade multiple first round? You're not getting Zach Wilson. It's just not happening. Matthew asked this, who's more likely to be back next year, Witherspoon or Gold? I'd probably say Gold. And again, we're going to find out this week if Robbie Gold is going to be the kicker. And let's say you don't want Gold. You're going to move on. Who do you get? Look at teams. Look at Chase McLaughlin being passed around NFL teams. He's been on like 5 of them. People can't get good kickers. They just don't exist. But you do have to give hats off, tip of whatever, to Witherspoon. And guess what? We're going to talk about Witherspoon. But this week, I love it, man. Spoon shows up. And guess who our sponsor of today's episode is? None other than Magic Spoon, baby. Whenever I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do was to go to the grocery store with my mom. She would finally turn us loose, me and my brothers and sisters, on the cereal aisle, and we could all pick one for ourselves. It was incredible. It was like Christmas, but shopping. And as kids, you always went after the most sugar-laden, unhealthy cereal imaginable to mankind. But we all grow up. Cereal is still a major part of my life. I love cereal very, very much. But now there's a product that gives you that same incredible great taste that you grew up loving, but that's healthy. Listen to these numbers. And again, keep in mind that these numbers go with great taste. 0 grams of sugar. 11 grams of protein. You can't find another cereal that does that. Only 3 net grams of carbs. And they have 4 amazing flavors. This is MagicSpoon.com I'm talking about. I love this product. I love this company. They have cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Tastes amazing. But above that, it's healthy for the whole family. My wife, my 12-year-old, my 17-year-old, myself, we've all tried this product. And they all love it. We all have different favorites. This is one of the ways that you increase healthy living to your family lifestyle without sacrificing flavor. Whenever you hear these words, which all these are true for Magic Spoon, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free, you think, yeah, it's probably going to be pretty gross. Well, get this. This company, big reason why I agreed to allow them to sponsor our podcast, I don't work with any company, 100% happiness guarantee. You try their product, you don't like it, 100% refund, no questions asked. What do you have to lose? And if you use our promo code 49ERS, you get free shipping straight to your door. You don't even have to go to the grocery store. The cereal comes to you, baby. So head to magicspoon.com/49ers and make sure you use the promo code 49ers whenever you check out for free shipping. That's magicspoon.com/49ers. Thank you for sponsoring this project. What are you doing? Go get some cereal for you and your family. Trust me, you will thank me later. Dude, Magic Spoon, baby. And it's so funny because the game was kind of bookended with Akello Witherspoon plays. You know, the very first drive, the defense goes out there, they're playing well. It's a fade route just right down the sideline, and we're in our thirds coverage, so Akello has no help over the top, and he gets shoved off. Christian Kirk does extend his hand, but in today's NFL, nobody calls that, right? Unless it's the Super Bowl and George Kittle, of course. But he gives up this big catch, and they end up getting a field goal. Played awesome after that until the very last, one of the last meaningful drives, 4th and 1, and Kyler Murray keeps it just on a naked boot, and Akello, who's, you know, he had 5 and 4 coverage, 5 yards outside, the last man 4 yards back as the force edge player, and just gets sucked up inside like he was going to do anything in there and lets Kyler Murray run for 40 yards untouched, right, on the outside, huge play, whatever. I'm cursing. I'm mad. Ah, Akello. And then as I hit send, like Akello just gives up a 4th down on Twitter. Gets one of the best interceptions. Which, again, this is 2 weeks in a row now that we've seen Akello Witherspoon change his technique to where he actually tries to play the football. It's a weird concept for a cornerback in the NFL, but he did it. Gets an amazing pick and kind of ice the win for us. Or Robbie Gould's going to try to mess that up later on, but it really felt like the 49ers were going to win after that. So you've got to say, man, what do you do with this kid Akello? We have seen the ceiling of his play. 3 separate years. You remember he started off 3 years ago amazing. Last year he was great for the first 3 weeks till he got injured, came back, and was trash. Bad all year this year. Now he's finishing strong. Don't get fooled. When somebody shows you who they are once, you believe them. When they show you who they are twice, yeah, now, what's the, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what this is. Akello is a home run or a bust play. I will stand firm on this. I don't want him on my team in the future. I'm very thankful for how he's played the last 2 weeks, and I hope he earns a contract somewhere, and he will, because it's a 6'3 corner with great feet, and he's got the ceiling. But again, consistency is the true measure of greatness. And whenever you have a player with this kind of track record, 3 straight years in a row with either hot or cold play, that's not championship football player. That's not a championship mentality. I do want Verrett back. Again, I wish Akello the best. Almost said the worst there. I don't. They're good. And you got to give to Verrett as well. Verrett versus DeAndre Hopkins. Go back to that week 1 matchup. DeAndre Hopkins went off against Emmanuel Mosley. They isolated him on the left side, and they just ran 10-yard out, comeback route, you know, slant route. That's it. They put Jason Verrett on him, and yeah, DeAndre Hopkins made some plays. He made some awesome plays. He's DeAndre Hopkins. He's one of the best, if not the best. But Jason Verrett was there toe for toe with him and did not back down. And the play in the end zone right before halftime where they threw the fade route, DeAndre Hopkins caught that ball. Jason Verrett drove through the window and in between his hands, because whenever the quarterback or the wide receiver catches the ball with both hands, you've got the ball with both hands on it, and you've got this little window where his arms and his elbows right through his chest, and you just rake through. That's what you teach your corners to do. Hopkins caught the touchdown ball, but he was able to drive through the ball, through that window, and break it up, and it was huge. That was huge. That's a four-point swing. That's a four-point swing just because he played. And then you look at later on down the game, you know, fourth quarter, it's fourth and one. He runs a slant route, gets the catch. Well, they saw something they liked. The very next drive, they do the same formation, try to do a slant route one-on-one, DeAndre Hopkins versus Verrett. And what do? Instead of blitzing Fred Warner, we drop him into the hook-to-curl zone. He gets the pass breakup. We get a turnover on the 30-yard line. Should have been game. Actually, I think we got a touchdown on that one. That was the Jeff Wilson where he got pushed out at the half-inch line. That should have been a touchdown. And then Kyle Juszczyk out in the flats. That was huge. 49 Lakers. I don't know how you root for those two teams, but whatever. I'll allow it. I'm just joking. I'm a Mavericks fan. I'm from Dallas. I'm just giving you a hard time. I live in LA, so I like to troll Lakers fans, even though they're very good. Somebody's going to hire Robert Saleh. You are exactly correct. One of the top things that I wrote in my notes of positives today was Robert Saleh and this defense put a message for all 32 teams. 31. I guess they left a message for the 49ers too. I was pretty convinced Robert Saleh was going to get a head coaching job anyway. But whenever you show, because there's no other games on. So this was the equivalent of Monday Night Football for all intents and purposes. Because again, every NFL team is watching this damn game. There's nothing else to watch. And everybody's tired of their families anyway. So you're going to watch football. I'm joking. Kind of. But he was going to get a job anyway. Now, you mean to tell me you turn your TV on and you're watching this game of one of the most dynamic offenses in the NFL? They're up there. You want to look at stats. And again, I think this kind of puts things into perspective, because as you're talking about this game, they have the third most total yards in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals going into tonight. Second most first downs. Fourth most rushing yards, second most rushing touchdowns, seventh in yards per carry. They're up there everywhere. And you go out there with replacement level players and you punch this team in the mouth and they can't do anything? Are you kidding me? They couldn't do anything. They put up 12 points. They got one touchdown. One. That's it. Teams want that. And the added bonus, again, this is part of the Kyle Shanahan. If you pull and you hire Robert Saleh as your head coach, guess what? You're getting a taste of the Kyle Shanahan running game as well. You know, whichever one. If you're pulling our passing game coordinator or our running game coordinator, it doesn't matter. You're getting a piece of it. And that's it. And so Robert Saleh, just want to say hats off to him. He's going to get hired. This is positive for everybody, I think. One, you always want the best for your people. Yeah, you want to kind of be stingy and keep things that work. I get that. But, you know, I'm one of those people that believe you put good things out there. You wish for the best in other people. And, you know, not saying, oh, if you're good, good things come back. I don't believe that. But you take care of people and you do what's right. Robert Saleh wants to be a head coach. Who doesn't? He deserves it. Let him go get it. Now, this year, 2020, moving forward to 2021, probably the best year ever to lose a defensive coordinator or a general manager. Because the NFL approved their new ruling that if you have a minority coach that gets hired as a head coach or a minority front office worker that gets hired as a GM, you get not one, but two third round picks. This is huge. So it's when, not if anymore. Like, it's happening. Robert Saleh is going to be hired as a head coach. When he does get hired by Detroit, I'm telling you that's where he's going. 49ers get two third-round picks, one in 2021 and one in 2022. Now, the 49ers got some other good news today on the draft pick compensation front. Quan Alexander, beloved player by the 49ers, amazing human being. You got traded for a fifth-round pick in his contract. That's why he went for a fifth-round pick to the Saints. He tore his Achilles just yesterday on Christmas Day, which sucks. I wish the best for him. Now, the problem with that trade was it was a conditional draft pick for the playtime of Quan Alexander for the Saints. Now, none of this has been officially leaked yet. However, according to Matt Maiocco, who's one of the best out there, he said that his sources told him that the pick is almost all but guaranteed for the 2021 draft. So it's going to be a fifth round pick. So if we update draft compensation, okay, for 2021, you have your own first round pick. You have your own second round pick. No third rounder because the Trent Williams trade. But you get back that third rounder when Robert Saleh becomes the head coach. So now you have a 1-2-3. Now that third rounder will come after the compensation picks. So it's going to be somewhere around like 100 to 107. So it's not like a top third rounder, but still, that's a pretty damn high pick. We have a fourth. We have 2 fifth rounders, our own fifth, and then a fifth for the Quan Alexander trade, and probably going to get another fifth rounder for the Emmanuel Sanders compensation pick based on, again, compensation picks are come down to three things. One, the financial aspect of the contract per year, the playing time of that player during that year, and then any postseason awards. Now, contract put him at a fifth round pick. His playing time has been right at a fifth round pick. He's not going to receive any postseason awards. That's not going to happen. It's going to stay a fifth round pick, worst case six, but all of the projectors that are out there all say fifth rounder. So that's going to give us 3 fifth round picks. So again, we have a first, second, third, fourth, 3 fifth rounders, which the 49ers are great at, as our own six, and then 2 sevenths. Because we have our own original seventh round pick, and then probably one of the biggest fleecing trades ever with the Jets, we got the Jordan Willis trade, where they gave us Jordan Willis and a seventh rounder for a 2022 sixth rounder. So the 49ers got some room now. They got some picks. That's 9 draft choices on a team that's pretty loaded. Yeah, they're going to be losing some things in free agency. There's some issues there. But draft pick-wise, woof. You telling me we're getting 9 picks, 3 fifth rounders? Yeah, 2 sevenths, that's not ideal. But that gives you the flexibility to move around. And so, again, you know, we're dropping down 2 picks. You know, 49ers currently picked 14th in the NFL draft if the draft was to start today. But I think that's going to change. I really, really do. Some of those teams still have some stuff to play for. We'll have to see what happens there. But where the 49ers currently are, where the 49ers are currently going, how many teams would you rather be in their position if you just look at a personnel and coaching standpoint? Yeah, if you're one of those teams with the top 3 or 4 quarterback, I get it. But the 49ers aren't too far off. Now, is C.J. Beathard the answer for the future? Hell no. It's not there. It is definitely not there. But he's not going to be it. Is Jimmy Garoppolo the answer for the future? I don't know. A big maybe there. But the 49ers have a system in place and players in place, even if they stay healthy, that the support staff is there. This is a winning football team with a winning future. Very, very excited. Very excited about where this is to go. Now, let's get to just a couple of more questions. Tommy says, my jersey isn't here yet. What's up, Tommy? He won the Brandon Ayuk jersey giveaway last month for Countdown Crew. Yeah, sorry about that. It got held up with Christmas. I've got the updates on it. I'll DM you. Trust me, you are getting your jersey. If I got to buy 4 of those bad boys, you're getting it. Now, this is a concern. I'm nobody you need to know. Big time listener. Appreciate it. Why did Brandon Ayuk only get 2 targets? Yeah. One, we didn't throw the ball very much. When Nick Mullins is behind center, you have to throw it to catch up because he gets us behind with his turnovers so often. Again, this is the first game in 9 games that we haven't had at least 2 or more turnovers. A lot of that is because Nick Mullins wasn't in the game. Now, because we didn't have to throw the ball that much, 22 pass attempts, that meant less attempts for everybody. The leading pass target was George Kittle, which I think nobody's upset George Kittle is getting that many targets. He got 5. That's it. Now, he caught 4 of those for 92 and had a drop. Drops were an issue in this game, as they have been for several weeks now. You look at this, there were 5 drops on the game. Brandon Ayuk had 1 early. It was in a tight passing window, but he missed that one. Richie James had one. I don't know why he's still on the team. Jordan Reed had one. Jeff Wilson had one. And George Kittle had one. That's a big problem. Why do we continue having all these drops? If Kittle would have caught his, he would have had over 100 yards. I'm sure he's beating himself up over that. But Brandon Ayuk, and again, you have to understand, the Cardinals' defense is designed to take one play away, one player away. Very similar to what Belichick used to do. They'll put Patrick Peterson on one guy and they'll roll a safety over. Now, they alternated back and forth between Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. George Kittle was on a snap count. Curious to see how much he was out there, but I'd guess probably about 60% of offensive snaps because he'd be out there for one or two snaps. They'd get him off the field. How much of that was conditioning, whatever else, doesn't really matter. But the Cardinals can, and they did, effectively take away a player in Brandon Ayuk. So I do love that they ran that little reverse to Ayuk, getting creative, right, out of the half, getting him the ball. It ran for 16 yards, and C.J. Beathard putting the effort out there. I love it. But yeah, Ayuk did kind of disappear. As, you know, you look at the last six games, that dude was basically 100 yards per game and averaging seven catches per game. Goes out there, two targets, gets one catch for 15 yards and one rush for 16 yards. But he still had a positive impact. There's no doubt about that because he opened things up for Kittle while he was out there. And so I really, really like that. But again, changing quarterback, C.J. Beathard, not a very good quarterback. Played well enough to win and didn't get in our way, which I really, really do like. Yeah, Jordan, just kind of going back to what we were talking about. He says, John, the team is playing so hard for Robert Saleh. You could see him out there hugging his players, hyping his guys up. He feels like a real head coach. I love it, man. Obviously, I'm an a-hole. I can tell you what's wrong with anything, or I can find something wrong with anything. It's just my personality. I've had lots of issues with Robert Saleh and, you know, his lack of in-game adjustments. He's a hell of a DC. And I think he's going to be an even better head coach because of the atmosphere he will create. And he's so young. I love it. I see some people that are upset we won. I can't believe it, man. You're a 49ers fan. Enjoy it. We only get to see him 16 times a year. I freaking love it. Yeah, Jordan, Witherspoon played great. I just feel he's a good backup. Yeah, I would love to have Witherspoon as a backup. I don't mind that. It's not an issue at all. Man, Sean, speak the truth, brother. Everyone whining about the draft, forgetting that free agents want to play for winners. Winners matter. And you're putting that out there for everybody. Players watch this game too. And man, imagine being a defensive player and you watch that game and just constant, just hitting, violence, popping the hell out of every single Cardinals player that you can. If you're a defensive person, if you ever have been, if you are currently, you see that and you're just like, whew, they're doing these with backups? With backups. Kerry Hyder's out there. Kerry Hyder's got 8.5 sacks. That's incredible. Kerry Hyder's going to get a huge payday. I wish we could bring him back. Kerry Hyder's going to get like a $9 million deal somewhere. So if you're a player that wants to be a part of something like this, which is unique, this is new. There's not a lot of teams that you can go do this with. The 49ers are your home. That's where you want to be. You're talking to your agent saying, look, I know salary cap sucks next year. Get me on a one-year prove-it deal, incentive-laden, with the 49ers. If you're a running back, oh my gosh. I just wish we could get a right guard or a right tackle. We got to talk about Mike McGlinchey. And he continues to have so many negative plays in the pass game. He just gets blown up. He gets run over repeatedly. Now, what's crazy to me is the reason why the running game was so amazing today was because of Mike Lynchy and other people. But it's just, gosh, why do you have to be so good at one thing and so bad at another thing? It's baffling how consistently great he is in the run game and consistently awful he is in the pass game. And if he could fix it, because you can't find tackles that can do that in the run game. Again, it's talked about, he's the number one rated run blocking tackle in the NFL. He's one of the worst in pass blocking. Maybe added weight could get him to take on those linebackers because it's linebackers that are eating his lunch. Whenever he gets in that pass set and you got a blitzing linebacker coming at him in his chest, he just gets run over. Again, he's 6'8", 300 plus pounds, but not plus enough pounds. he does not need to eat Magic Spoon cereal. He needs to eat the other kind and put some weight in his butt. But man, what do you do there? I don't know. I do know Kyle Shanahan's not moving on from him. I'm standing by that. You've got to figure something out. What I can say is Justin School, holy cow, number 6'7". What's up, baby? Now, early on, School and Colton McKivitz were swapping at the right guard spot. And Shanahan said, nope, keep School in there. School, I love it, man. That dude put on a game. I'm pretty excited for maybe he found his home. Because he's a hell of a run blocker too. And he's pretty good at pass sets, but he gets beat by speed. Well, you put him inside at the guard, you don't have to worry about speed too much. He was great today. The quarterback position, man, they were awesome. You know, you look at the sacks. There were 3 sacks against the quarterback. But again, 2 of those were on C.J. Beathard. Only 1 sack was by due to an offensive lineman, and that was on the strip fumble where McGlinchey just got ran over. But 2 of those sacks were because C.J. Beathard. We know who C.J. Beathard is. If his first read's not there, he gets big-eyed, and he holds onto the ball, and he takes a sack. I'm okay with that. Go to Mullins, those same place. He's going to force something. He's going to get a sack, fumble, interception, whatever. C.J. Beathard didn't throw an interception. When was the last time we could say that with a 49ers quarterback? The offensive line did amazing. Look at those rushing numbers. 30 rush attempts for 227 yards. It's one of the best running performances we've had. You could go all the way back to the NFC Championship game against the Packers where we ate their lunch. He freaking crushed it. You know, not only Jeff Wilson, but this line crushed it. It was pretty funny, though. As good as this offensive line was playing, when Tevin Coleman went into the game, the first 2 plays were negative again. It doesn't matter. Every single game, when he goes in, negative things happen. It's just what it is. He had 2 rush attempts for 3 yards. Yikes. And 1 catch for 0 yards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
That dude's done. That dude's done. Betting-wise this week, man, I hope you've been following me on Twitter and following our bets. We have hit the last 5. Our bet today, our bets are as the game's going on, Bucks minus 4, 49ers plus 13, hit on both those. We've got Dolphins plus 4. Real quick word from our sponsor, then some more questions, MyBookie. Here we go. Every sports fan knows it's not about how you start the season, it's about how you finish. And MyBookie, 2020 finishes strong with NFL, college football, and the return of NBA action. Sign up today to receive a halfway deposit match up to $1,000. And while you're at it, ring in the holidays with 6 days of giveaways. You heard it here first. From December 21st all the way up to December 26th, MyBookie's hooking players up with free bets, free casino chips, and free blackjack tournaments with huge cash prizes. And it's all week long. To get in the action, it's simple. Sign up, make your first deposit, and enter the promo code 49ers, 49ERS, to claim your bonus and start taking advantage of all these freebies. Head over to MyBookie to discover this year's batch of fun on-site promotions and win big with 6 days giveaway this holiday season. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. Love it. We will have more betting specials this coming week. I'll try to get something out. Again, I'll release those on Twitter for what I'm going to have Sunday because, again, man, it's Saturday. Got a weird week. I do want to let everybody know I've taken the family. We're driving to the mountains of Colorado. Going to do a little skiing, do some social distance skiing, which I'm pretty excited about, taking the kiddos. So it's going to be a weird week, but I'm going to be fitting in some 49ers podcast, whether I'm at a hotel or I'm in the car or I'm on a mountain. I don't care. It's football season. We're going to be talking football because there's just too much good stuff going on right now. You know, I started off by saying, we get 16 games guaranteed a year. And this year, go back to how you remember being in July and June. Are we going to have a season? Is it going to start on time? What's it going to be like? We got one more. That's it. We got one game. for 9 months. That's way too damn long. And it's against Seattle. This game matters. We're not going to the Super Bowl or the playoffs this year. But this game is what it's on. Beat this damn team. Mess up Seattle like we just messed up the Cardinals. And make it as hard as possible for them to have any postseason success. Because again, you look at Seattle fans, they've only been around for about 7 years. You know, since Russell Wilson was drafted, that's it. And they started winning. I want bad things for their fans. Not in real life, just with football. But it's what it is, man. And so we got to do what we got to do. Now, here's some questions. I see some draft talk going on. Tyson, is Trey Lance out of the question at 15 or wherever we end up? You know, if you look at, again, I'm going off of the draftnetwork.com, which I think they do a really good site job with consensus rankings and whatnot. Here are their quarterback, kind of their big board, which they have not updated this in about 3 weeks, but it just shows you how things change. At pick 10, this is their big board. I'm just going to read a handful of names. At number 10, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama. Number 11, Devontae Smith. Wide receiver out of Alabama. Quiddy Pay, who if he's there, oh my gosh. At 12, Edge out of Michigan. Zach Wilson, 13, quarterback BYU. And if you followed Zach Wilson wasn't even a draftable quarterback last year. Pro Football Focus puts out like a 500-page whatever draft stuff before the college football season. He wasn't even included. He has slowly gone from, all right, draftable, probably fifth, sixth round project player, third round with upside, second round, oh my gosh, to middle of the first round to top five pick. This guy has gone on a Joe Burrow-like tear, and perhaps in another year, Zach Wilson would be in conversation for first overall, but Trevor Lawrence, make no mistake, he is that guy. But anyway, Zach Wilson, 13 here, quarterback BYU. Trey Lance, 14. On their big board, North Dakota State, who I really like. And one, I like Trey Lance. I really, really do. I think he has a lot of positives. Huge body, 6'3", 224. Mobile quarterback, but not like a speedster. He's just efficient. But I like him because he doesn't turn the ball over. I like him because he has NFL quarterback size already. Zach Wilson doesn't. And he will be there around where the 49ers pick. Now, why will he fall? Well, he only played one game this year because the Missouri Valley Conference postponed their season to the spring. He's preparing for the NFL draft, so he got one game in before they postponed and then started to prepare for the NFL draft. So I think that he can fall because not all teams are going to fall in love with him. One, the level of competition, not great. Two, he hasn't played this year. You don't have film on him for quite a while. Again, one game, that's it. He did play really good in that game. But there's going to be teams that don't have Trey Lance on their draft board. There's no doubt about that. But I love the upside. And again, you look at his last season, no interceptions. Protecting the ball is paramount, especially CJ Beathard just won. That should let you know if you don't turn the ball over, you can win. Offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech's 15. J.C. Horn, 16, cornerback out of South Carolina. I think that he is a very strong option for the 49ers. If they don't go quarterback, cornerback is going to be a big deal. South Carolina, he's awesome. Travis Etienne, running back Clemson, no way. Linebackers, wide receivers, Joseph Asai's at 20 on their big board, Edge from Texas. I really, really like him a lot. He would be that speed rusher. Now, rushers usually get pushed up. He's very versatile because he fits a 3-4 and a 4-3 scheme. I love Osai. If Osai got picked by the 49ers, I'm telling you right now, I'm buying that jersey that night. I'm a Longhorn, so it's what it is. Let's see here. Michael, I love it. Love the podcast. Let's go. What do you think of CJ? Solid number two? I'd say solid number three. I do like CJ, and I do like Nick Mullins. I don't mind either one of them being our number three quarterback. I don't want either one of them being our number two quarterback. And here's the difference, and here's the understanding. Your number two quarterback, you need to prepare for them to play 3 to 4 games a year and be able to get those wins. We haven't seen that from either one of them. CJ Beathard's 2-9. 2-9. Did you hear that? He's 2-9 as a starter. That's not great. Nick Mullins, you look at his numbers. Are they better? A little bit. He's 2-6. like neither one of these things are what you want. He's 5-11 as his career. 2-6 this year. So I don't like those numbers. You want them to be a number three. I would rather have Josh Rosen as a number two. Now, again, Josh Rosen doesn't know the system. He's been there for 3 days. Do I expect him to start next week? Nope. But maybe Josh Rosen as a number two next year. Still don't like it. Just because the upside's more with Josh Rosen than the other guys, CJ or Nick Mullins. But we'll have to see what happens there. But hey, CJ goes out and gets a win against Seattle next week. I'll take it. I'll take it and be very, very happy. I think we all will be. Obviously, the draft birds are going to be upset. But what world are you living in if you want to root against your own team from winning? I can't do it. I'm beating my kid in checkers. I don't care. Oh, you're going to build his confidence, make him feel good. Hell no. He's got to earn that damn thing. I'm beating his ass in checkers. That's all there is to it. King me. That's what it is, man. Runaway Turtle says, John, how does the Quan injury affect the 49ers pick they negotiated with the Saints? We talked about this at the top of the pod. According to Matt Maiocco, with NBC Sports, he says that it's already solidified that he met whatever it was. The terms and conditions have not been released, but the Quan Alexander fifth round pick has been met, so it will be a 2021 fifth round pick this upcoming draft, which is great news. I love it, man. You guys are incredible. The 49ers win, and it's Saturday. We still got a whole nother day in this weekend. We get to sit back and watch football and enjoy knowing the 49ers got a dub against a division opponent. Ah, I love it, man. I love it. It's freaking awesome. That's our third win this year versus our own division. If we get a win next week against Seattle, we finish with four wins. We'd be 4-2. I like that. 4-2 against the NFC West. Right now we're 3-2. We got our three wins. We swept the Rams, obviously. We halved it with the Cardinals, 1-1. And then we can half it next week against Seattle. Nobody would have more wins against us in our own division, which is awesome. Now, the bad thing, I don't want to end with this, but bad thing is we went 1-3 against the NFC East. Yikes. And that's kind of where we are. You know, turnovers. You go look at those games. Just turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. But that's all right. 49ers win today. That is a good thing. We got more football coming on the way. It's an action-packed weekend. I freaking love it. Heading into week 17. As always, if you want to reach out to me, email or Twitter is the best way. Twitter at JL_Chapman, Chapman. And as always, 49ersRushPodcast @gmail.com. We are continuing with our draft breakdowns on Patreon. Oh my gosh, I freaking love it over there. If you haven't joined us yet, patreon.com. Go there, type in 49ers Rush Podcast, join us. It's $8, the Frank Gore tier a month. You get unprecedented, draft coverage, film breakdowns, statistical analysis, and once I get my draft book completed, which I got some people helping me with, you get access to that too. It's where everything is, so head over there. Thank you guys for everything. Way to go, 49ers. Freaking Akello Witherspoon, what? I love it. Thanks for all the support, and as always, stay strong, faithful.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.